university life can be a bit of a maze, right? Don't worry. Campus Chronicles is here to be your guide. It's your go-to spot for tackling the big questions, sharing a laugh, and everything else that comes with navigating campus life. Think of it as the resource and the sounding board that I wish I had back in my uni days. And I am so excited to share it with you. My goal is to leave you feeling inspired, energized, and ready to chase after your boldest dreams. Let's jump in. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to reintroduce you to an amazing guest that we have had in the past. His name is Douglas McCall, and he is the identity doctor. And I had such an incredible time with him last recording that I just had to bring him back. Douglas, thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to sit and chat with you, Brooke.
We are going to have so much fun because, Douglas, you've been a little bit busy since our last recording. You kind of wrote and published a book. Let's dive in.
I kind of did. Yeah, it was a thing.
So let's dive into, before we go there, actually, for those who have not listened to your last episode, give us a little bit of insight into your background and who you are before we dive into the new content with the book.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have been working in the field of education since the mid-90s, which is really scary to think about saying things such as the mid-90s, realizing that your listenership doesn't actually know what the mid-90s were. So I've been in education. I was a public school K-12 teacher for a long time. And for the last decade, I've been plugged into the university community, both as a doctoral student, doing the wandering the halls every day gig, and then as a professor at a small liberal arts college in West Virginia. All of my research has been about the identity shifts that happen when you decide to go to college and the identity shifts you go through when you're in college. And then when you get to the end and that scary moment when you realize you might just have to get a job and do something. So I've just been super plugged into helping college students navigate all those transitions.
And Douglas, you're right. I remember the moment when I graduated. It was a little bit of a what's next. There was a lot more fear and there was a lot more struggle with identity than I even anticipated. And to your point about all the transitions that you go through, I think those can be difficult to navigate because there's not a lot of support out there for them. Nobody's really talking about this. It's not a popular topic on Instagram or TikTok. And so many people are left feeling like it's just them.
Absolutely. And certainly not to discredit higher education at all. They do a wonderful job of a lot of things. But the reality is in all that course content we're trying to plug into your head, there's precious little time for the non-course content stuff. And one could argue that the non-course content stuff is probably way more important and super more applicable than the course content stuff, even that I teach in my classes. And I'm plugged into those needs and I don't get to it all.
No, that's true. And the things that I learned as far as time management, getting along with people I might not agree with, those are the skills that I'm still using to this day.
Absolutely. And that's two of the chapters in the book.
I love it. Let's dive in. So what made you write the book? Was it a gradual realization that this was a necessary thing that the world needed? Or was it a specific moment of inspiration?
I'm not sure it fell into either camp neatly. This past summer, you know, I had finished my dissertation in 2021, and which was a heavy amount of writing. I mean, my dissertation was 50,000 words. So I did a lot of writing. And then for a couple years, I didn't do any writing, probably because I was burned out of doing a lot of writing. But I got a bug last summer that I was going to write a blog for 100 days. So every single day, I sat at my computer and I wrote anywhere from 750 to about 1,200 words. And all of the topics were things about, you know, questions you might ask a coach if you were working with a life coach, or that kind of things. And I found myself talking about stuff I knew, like identity and time management and character development and that stuff, and just a variety of topics. And so October rolled around and I finished the 100 days blog I wrote every day. And I looked at it, I'm like, holy cow, I just wrote 70,000 words. Like, I had written a lot. And I said, yeah, but I only have 5 people following my blog. So I'm like, well, maybe. And then I got talking, you know, so fall semester, I got chatting with my students about it here, there, and everywhere. And, you know, one of them mentioned, they're like, you know, you could turn that into a book. And I said, huh, you're right. I probably could. So I sat down with it. And from October to like February, I picked away and I started, because when I was writing the blog, I wasn't necessarily thinking of college students. But then, as I got thinking about it, I started readdressing those topics and pulling the stuff together into chapters that made sense. And the book just kind of grew from there. And, you know, thanks to, you know, self-publishing sites, you can kind of do it all yourself and not have to worry about a formal publisher. So February, I spent putting it into what works for publishing. And March 10th, I released it on Kindle. And a couple days later, I released it in softcover, print on demand. So there we have it. I wrote a book.
Huge congratulations. So give us the name for anybody that wants to go check it out. And then we're going to dive into the content of it.
Absolutely. The title of the book is College Compass, A Practical Guide to Growth, Success, and Fulfillment. College students read a lot of textbooks. Let's be realistic. You know, you walk into class on the first day, you get your book list, and you get these books with 500 pages in it and some title like, you know, History of the United States from 1790 to 1875. And it's like, how fascinating. Yay, another history book. And it got to me that, you know, if I'm going to write a book for college students, it needs to be something that doesn't bear any resemblance to the dreary textbooks we make them read. And so it's like, you know what? We're going to keep it simple. College Compass. What do you use a compass for? You use it to find your way. That's where College Compass came from. The subtitle is just to give you an idea what's inside it. And then when I wrote it, it's 20 chapters, but no chapter is more than 3 to 4 pages. So you can absolutely sit down, open to a chapter, and read. Because the other thing I did with it is I didn't make the chapters related. Like, you don't have to read chapter 1 to understand chapter 2. If you need to, for example, if you want some wise words on time management, you go right to my chapter, Time Management for College Life. And you get 3 or 4 pages of some information I've collected along the way, and then you're done. You want to read another chapter, but you don't have to. And that's really, it's like a pocket guide. It's a thing that you just have on your shelf and you're looking for wisdom and there it is.
I absolutely love that. And that's very digestible because to your point about the textbooks, you know, you open them and a chapter could be 40 or 50 pages. And that feels like a huge chore. That feels like a huge task. But when you open something like this and it's 3 to 4 pages, you know, a lot of young people might read that on a Reddit site in a half an hour. So it doesn't feel as hard and it doesn't feel as taxing.
And that was really, you know, to your point, and I just lost my entire statement, but I'm going to keep trudging forward because sometimes that's what you do.
That's literally what I do every single day. That's like me as a person.
but it is. It's that reality that we don't have time to figure out. And even if you're in a class that you love, like when I sat in my music classes as an undergrad, and I to this day, but 40 pages and you're trying to figure out the so what. Because those authors want a big, thick book because they want to have their name next to a big, thick book. And I get that. At one point, I thought I wanted my name next to a big, thick book. But the reality is that content these days, and as you said, Reddit, TikTok, whatever social media you're on, you're digesting content in 15 to 45 second blocks of time. A giant textbook isn't going to do that for you. So I get rid of all the words and we talk about exactly what I want you to know. Sometimes there's an awful lot of bullet points in this book because sometimes you just want to know, what are the X, Y, and Z that I can do right now that's going to help me get through this thing that I'm dealing with? And that was another thing for application. Every chapter ends or has somewhere built into it what's called a college compass activity. And that is my years and years of teaching, is that sometimes we just need a way to apply it. How do I take what you just told me and make it do something? Well, those college compass activities are a quick 10-minute thing you can do to reinforce what you just read and then give you a way to move on. I actually thought about creating a journal app for it, but I am not smart enough to create an app. So perhaps one of your listeners out there who's a real good tech, real good tech person wants to tell me how to create an app for this. I would love that. And we can profit share all day long.
Douglas, I'm not very technically inclined. So I understand that completely. And I love what you said about formatting, because when the format is familiar, so bullet points are very popular on Reddit, short blocks of content are very popular on Instagram and TikTok, there's less of a resistance to it. Because I think sometimes for university students who are overwhelmed with friendships and romantic relationships and coursework and jobs, there's a resistance to adding something to your plate. And I know that I experienced that when I was in university. But because it's a familiar format, I think there's less of that initial resistance.
Absolutely.
Now, one thing I want to ask you is, I know this is hard. It's like picking your favorite kid. But is there a chapter that, I know that's hard. Is there a chapter that stands out to you? Or tell us a little bit about the contents within the book.
Sure. Okay. So I won't answer your favorite just yet, but I promise I will come back to it. Because I do actually have a favorite chapter. And to anyone who hears this that knows me, it's not actually going to be a shocker. But so the book is set up. There are seven parts. So seven larger chunks. So part one is building a foundation for growth. And in that, I talk about being proactive versus being reactive. I talk about how your mindset impacts how you succeed. And I talk about cultivating positivity. So that's a chapter just getting into the nuts and bolts of setting yourself up for a way to move forward in a positive direction. From there, I dig right into productivity and academic success, knowing that this is the audience I have. So we talk about, there's a whole chapter on time management. There's a chapter on focus and concentration. And then I wrap that section up with effective decision making, because what college student couldn't use a little more help in decision making?
I could also use more help decision making. So I think that's a very universal chapter.
Anyone who's crawled out of a bar at 2 o'clock in the morning needs a chapter on effective decision making. So part three, we go into personal growth and emotional intelligence. I talk about what emotional intelligence is. I do a chapter on overcoming fear and self-doubt. Too many times out there, people want to pretend like we can get rid of fear and self-doubt, when the reality is we cannot. We just need to learn how to deal with it and how to make it work for us, not against us. So I do a little chapter on fear and self-doubt. And I know I need this chapter, assertiveness and healthy boundaries. The idea of when to say no, because let's face it, when your friends want you to do 14 different things on the weekend, sometimes we need a boundary. And so we talk about that. Then I get devoted a section to building sustainable habits, because a lot of the success in college and in life is about habits that work for you, and get rid of the habits that don't work for you, and knowing the difference. So we talk about creating habits and self-discipline and motivation. Part five, networking, relationships, and communication. We definitely need to talk about how to network for students, because the reality is when you're in college, you are building up your network for the rest of your life. And so we need to talk about how we do that and how we do it effectively. I do a chapter on fostering healthy relationships. I know I needed that in college. But then also, an important thing to talk about is conflict resolution, because the older we get, the more we deal with conflict. And if we don't find healthy ways to deal with it, we don't deal with it. Part six is goal setting and accountability. If you've ever heard of the SMART goals, the S-M-A-R-T goals, and I do cite the right person who came up with that, I actually edited that to the SMARTER goals. I added another letter to the SMART goals. But you'll have to read the book to find out. The final section is probably my favorite grouping of chapters, and so I said I would get here eventually. This is self-image and personal identity, and the identity doctor can't imagine how I would be hooked in on that one. It's hard in college to be self-reliant because you just spent 18 of your years being reliant on parents and other folks. So self-reliance is a big one. I do a whole chapter on crafting your identity and how we do that and what happens. I spent a chapter on self-efficacy and identity. Self-efficacy is a lovely word to say. Try and say it 3 or 4 times fast and you will trip up over it. That was what my dissertation was on. So I took my 50,000 word dissertation and made it make sense in 3.5 short pages. And then we finish out by talking about building self-esteem and resilience. And that is the whole book.
That is incredible, Douglas. There are so many things that I think I probably need a refresher on that I need to look into your book about. What do you hope people will take away? And how do you hope it will impact not only individual lives, but how we view the transitions in university overall?
Well, what I hope the takeaway for the average reader, what I hope they take away with that is a couple of tips and tricks and toolbox items to help them adjust to whatever it is they're dealing with. The reality is that no two university students' experiences are identical. So it is impossible to write a book that is a blanket appropriate for everybody. My hope is that they go into there and they read a chapter and they go, I hadn't thought of that. That's going to help me. If my reader only takes one thing from my book, it was still a successful book. And with everything I've got in there, I'm pretty sure everybody can find something. Heck, I found stuff out writing it, and I've been dealing with this for 40 years. The larger piece, this, I think, for the university professionals out there, our faculty and such, I think this is the kind of book that if your university does a freshman experience class, which 95% of universities do now, this is the kind of book that you should put in freshmen's hands on day one. I also think it's a book that parents, if you're looking for a cute little graduation gift for a high schooler, this is a great book to get them thinking over that summer when they're panicking about what it means to go to university in the fall. This is a great book to help alleviate some of those or to give them some tools to start that journey. So in the larger scheme, it's realizing that there's still information that our students need that they're not going to get in class deliberately. Do some professors cover stuff like this? Sure they do, but not everybody.
Mm-hmm. I love what you said about taking one tip or one strategy. I say something very similar in my TEDx talk because it's not always about, 50 tips or 100 strategies. Sometimes it's that 1% of incremental growth that's going to help you feel better and feel more confident and empowered. And then from that space, you can make more adjustments.
Absolutely. And that's the crux of the book is find that one moment that you need right now. And that's the reality is with a book like this, because there's 20 different chapters on 20 different topics, you wake up one morning, and you're like, man, I am absolutely buried. I've got 12 projects and I haven't even figured out how to prioritize them. Well, then you open up to my goal setting chapter, you open up to the time management chapter, and you figure out what you need right there. I mean, it's not unlike when you take your car to the mechanic. You don't take the car in to have them fix everything. You take them in to fix the thing that's bugging you right now. And that's where this book comes in handy, is it helps you in the right now.
I love that because it's very actionable in the space. Now, speaking of action, because you were doing a lot of action writing, how did writing this book change you?
I love that question, Brooke, and I'll tell you why before I answer it. When I my teaching area, I teach future teachers. So I'm working with folks who are learning to do what it is that I do. And one of the things that I tell them after every class. Every time they teach, every time they observe somebody teach, I ask them the question, how did what you see make you different for the future? Because if it doesn't change you, there was no point in doing it. So the fact that you asked me that question is perfect, because it's the question I ask my students all the time.
We're going to put it right back on you, because it's a hard question.
It is, and it requires reflection, which, by the way, is the biggest key to succeeding in college, is developing your ability to reflect on your experiences. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to screw up. It's okay to do all those things, so long as you reflect and learn from it for next time. So to answer your question, how was I changed by this book? One of the things that this book changed for me was the reality that in 25 years of education, I've learned a whole lot. Sometimes you forget. You forget that everything you've done is stuff that lots of other people have never done. But to you, it feels like I would write stuff down and I would say, well, duh, everybody knows that. But you know what? Not everybody knows that. And one of the steps that I took is I actually gave a draft of the manuscript to a couple of my students, and I actually paid them to review it. And some of the feedback that they got, they're like, this was exactly what I needed to hear. And so for me, the learning lesson was, just because I'm 40 years older, that 18-year-old isn't 40 years older. And this is new information for them. This is something they may not have considered. And I had to be reminded of things. There were lots of stuff in there that I'm going to flip to a chapter, because virtually every chapter I can tell you that I actually had to go, oh, I should probably do that.
Self-conviction.
It is. You know, for example, I just opened up to chapter 8, which is on fear and self-doubt. One that, speaking as someone who has lived through imposter syndrome for most of my adult life, that's important. And the statement was on identifying limiting beliefs. And one of the limiting beliefs I had to overcome in writing this book was that I didn't think I could write a book. I didn't think I could write something that would be meaningful to others. And I had to overcome that. So that was a learning lesson for me. And I've got them throughout the book. I could probably spend an hour and a half talking to you about junk that I've learned from having written this book. And perhaps if you need a guest down the road, we can delve into that much more in depth.
I would love that. And I do think it's such an important question. I want to touch briefly on the thing that you said about self-reflection. Self-reflection can be so scary when you first start to practice it, because there's so many complex emotions and complex feelings. But it's so incredibly worth it, not only in your relationships personally and interprofessionally, but it's so worth it within your relationship with yourself. And from what I'm understanding, Douglas, this book is going to cultivate not only your ability to work with others to succeed academically, but it's going to cultivate that relationship that you have with you. And as I always say, you're the person that's with you your whole life. It's very important to have a good relationship.
That is true. And much of the activities, I would argue, since the book is fairly well couched in identity, it's lots of self-reflective work. And it's self-reflection only works if you can be honest with yourself. And that's I think, the bigger key. We spend, and this is not limited to 18 to 25-year-olds by any stretch of the imagination. We are all eminently well qualified to lie to ourselves at any given point in time. And we do it in little ways and we do it in enormous ways. And self-reflection is stripping away those stories that we tell ourselves to be okay at the end of the day. But to truly be okay, we have to be able to be honestly self-reflective and look at that image in the mirror, be okay with who it is, but then be okay with changing it. And that's part of it. Self-acceptance, which I didn't write a whole lot about in this book, but I could have. Self-acceptance is another piece of it. It doesn't matter. When you're self-reflecting, it's not about what you see in the mirror. You accept it, you embrace it, you love it, and then you decide how you want to be different the next day.
I love that.
It's not about beating yourself. Yeah, it's not about beating yourself up about who you are right now. We are all changeable every day, every minute. But we have to accept where we are before we can move on to where we want to be.
I love that, Douglas. Now, that was so smart, and you've been on this show before, so you know I'm going to come at you with a difficult question,
yes,
but I ask everybody this.
I know.
So I know I do. So if you were going to share three tips or strategies, and I know this could be hard to condense it to three, but three tips or strategies for university students that they can use to enhance their lives, what would those three tips be?
Three tips right now for university students to enhance their lives. Number one, you need to be okay with your best not always being enough. Because sometimes it isn't. Sometimes your best gets you a 70 on that test. And that's going to happen. And that's okay. Because you are a work in progress. And that's you're supposed to be a work in progress. Learn from your mistakes and do better next time. So number one is be okay when your best isn't necessarily going to be good enough. Because in truth, it really is. It's the best. If you're truly given your best, it's the best. Number two. Oh, I can't say this enough. Make time for you. Make time for you that is wholly yours and not owned by anyone else. Whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours a day, your schedule is going to dictate some of that, but you have to make time for you. If you don't, it will drag you down eventually. So make time for you. Number three, be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. We are all imperfect creatures, and that's okay. As long as you're striving to make tomorrow's imperfections a little better than today's, you're on the right track.
Douglas, I love your emphasis on being a work in progress, because I think it takes so much pressure off, especially in an environment that is inherently pressure-filled.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's fantastic. Is there a quote or a mantra that you're living your life by these days? Because I know I asked you that last time.
Let's see. I am going to use as my quote the last line from my book. I'm going to quote my favorite author right now.
That's fabulous. We love to see it.
So here it is. So here's my advice as you set out. Keep your eyes open, your heart curious, and your compass steady. Trust yourself to find your way. And remember, this is just the beginning.
I love the emphasis on trusting yourself. That's one of my personal things I am all about. So Douglas, I love that. Now, if somebody has been inspired and they want to find your book, they want to learn more about you, where do they go?
All right. Well, to find the book, and it exists in Kindle and in soft cover, you can go to Amazon.com, and if you search College Compass and put my last name next to it, it will be the first thing that pops up. If your listeners want to reach right out to me directly, and I open this to anyone, I've told my students for 25 years, and some still do it, students I had 20 years ago, my email is always available, and you can reach out anytime. I will always give you a few moments of my time if you want to talk. My email is real easy, theidentitydr@gmail.com.
Nobody could mess that one up. Douglas, I've had so much fun having you back, learning all about what you have been up to since we last caught up. And, you know, you convicted me on a couple things. So I think there's some places that I need to read your book to improve. And I sincerely and genuinely appreciate you taking your time out to share with us.
Absolutely. Glad to. I love coming on. And I am willing to come and talk to your audience anytime you feel you've got a spot you need to fill with and my expertise would be helpful.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun.
We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.